sermon in two sections from that text, verse 44. Perhaps it could be put up on the screen again. A statement of Jesus, the Son of Man will come, and a command from Jesus, be ready. Jesus said, the Son of Man will come. The creeds, the two affirmations of Christian faith that we use week by week, they're not the only creeds, but they're the two that we regularly use. These two creeds are short. They are summaries of the central things that Christians believe about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of them affirms faith and belief in the return, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. The Apostles' Creed, which we have used this morning, he will come to judge the living and the dead. The Nicene Creed, which we use at our Holy Communion services, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And faith in our Lord's coming again is not on the margins of Christian faith. It is not an optional extra or something just for some Christians. It is part of the core, the central core of Christian faith. In this season of Advent, we prepare to celebrate at Christmas the Incarnation. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The first coming of Jesus, a glorious truth, full of radiant light. But his first coming was in great humility. Born in a stable, with nowhere to lay his head, entering Jerusalem as king on a borrowed donkey, suffering and dying on a cross. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that he took the nature of a servant. The second coming of Jesus will be different. Now, there is much about the second coming of Jesus that we do not and cannot understand. As I thought about that, I wondered if there is anything about the Christian faith that is really within our complete understanding. I think there probably isn't. But the New Testament repeatedly gives us the mingled assurance and warning that Jesus will return, and that his return will be in glory. It will be a return of judgment and of resurrection. This could be illustrated from so many verses and passages from throughout the New Testament. Just a small number will have to suffice. Paul to the Thessalonians. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. The writer to the Hebrews, whoever he might have been, almost certainly not Paul. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. James, the Lord's coming is near, the judge is standing by the door. John chapter 6, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And from earlier in Matthew chapter 24, again, the words of Jesus, as were those words from John, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. There is so much that is way beyond our present grasp, but the New Testament picture is of glory, of resurrection, of judgment, and of the final triumph of God's merciful purposes for the whole creation, for which see Romans chapter 8. The Son of Man will come. And the command of Jesus, be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. Our gospel reading gives us two pictures of unreadiness. Verses 37 to 41, we might term the unreadiness of the routine and busyness of life on earth, eating, drinking, celebrating marriage, working in the field, working with equipment. Sylvia and Glynis in our prayers reminded us, as if we needed reminding, of the terrible busyness of this time of year, preparations for Christmas, presents and food. The things of earthly living, which so often are necessary and good things, can make us forget the realities of heaven and eternity. They can lead us to forget that you and I have souls as well as bodies. That's the picture of unreadiness, the unreadiness of the routine and busyness of earthly life. And in verses 45 to 51, Jesus paints a picture of a master who goes away, leaving a designated servant in charge to look after his other servants. And if that servant is wicked, he will proceed to beat his fellow servants instead of feeding and caring for them. That picture put me in mind of the school classroom. We might all remember the times when the teacher disappeared, no doubt on some essential business, for a while, leaving us with reading or other work to do. And as I recall it, the quiet lasted for about 30 seconds, followed by chatter, developing into hubbub, paper aeroplanes, and eventually mayhem. But the picture which Jesus draws here is not of a noisy classroom, but a place of drunken and violent chaos. The readiness of active sin and rebellion. But three brief reflections on three positive aspects of being ready. How can we be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, which could happen at any time? And under these headings, faith, penitence, and service. Faith. Let us be ready in faith. It is by grace we have been saved through faith, says Paul to the Ephesians. Our faith, our trust, our reliance is in and upon Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, who came and died for our sins and rose on the third day. And faith in this Christian sense is not faith as a general attitude of mind, nor is it faith in a generally religious sense. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, is the subject and object of Christian faith, the one in whom God has spoken, the one in whom God has loved us and redeemed us, the one who assures us of his risen presence with us to the end of the age, a promise fulfilled hour by hour through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and poured out upon us. So let us think often of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his grace in coming to this sinful and damaged world, of his wounds by which we are healed, of his risen life by which he assures us of eternal life and resurrection. Paul to the Galatians, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Peter, in his first letter, says this: in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So let us think of him often, in church, at home, at work, in our studies, in good times, in bad times. And so may we be ready in faith for the glorious return of the one in whom we trust. Secondly, penitence. Advent is traditionally a season of penitence, and as we anticipate our Lord's second coming and a day of judgment, we acknowledge our sin and our sinful condition. We must not for a moment think that this has nothing to do with us, for that is the way of the Pharisee who was confident of his own righteousness and went home not justified. Neither should we limit penitence to that time when we came first to Christian faith. Penitence, acknowledgement and confession of my sinful condition and my actual sin, turning from sin to Christ, has everything to do with being a Christian and being ready for Christ's return and for that day of judgment. In many and various ways, God's call to penitence is written all over the New Testament. The writer to the Hebrews speaks in chapter 12 of the sin that so easily entangles, and he urges us to throw off all that hinders us. He would not have written those words, he would not have needed to write them, unless he knew that his hearers and that we were easily hindered by and easily entangled in sin. And famously in the first letter of John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus taught his disciples and followers to pray, forgive us our sins. So let us be ready in faith, let us be ready in penitence for our Lord's return. Thirdly, service. Verse 45 of our passage, the master puts a servant in charge of others, to feed them, to look after them, to do good. And in the following verse, Jesus says, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. The call of the one who served us and gave his life a ransom for many is a call to serve. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. The call of our Lord Jesus Christ is a call neither to power and authority, nor to ease and idleness. It is a call to service and to humility. At the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, there is an encounter, a conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." May we be those who are ready whenever the Lord returns in glory, ready as we are people of faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, ready as we are people of penitence, confessing our sin and always seeking to turn away from sin to Christ, and ready as we are people who serve the one who so wonderfully loved and served us. Amen.